My father guessed that I was gay on the day that I graduated from college. And that was about 10 years ago now. And we were parking the car, we were alone together. And he said that he knew and that he was proud of me and that he loved me. And I started crying. And then he said, "Don't ever, ever tell your mother." And I didn't really understand then why he said that, but it would soon become pretty clear. And I tried not to. Okay.
I was given that.
You were trying?
I was told.
It feels really loud.
No,
anyway.
Great.
Okay. So I tried not to tell her, and then about 6 months later I did, because I was having nightmares that she found out anyway. And there was also, at the time, it was the late 90s, there was this kind of cultural shift going on. Ellen had come out on TV, and I'd been in gay groups on campus, and the sort of message was, come out, your silence will not protect you, they're your parents, they'll love you anyway, they probably already know. And every time you tell somebody who loves you that you're gay, you bring another ally into the movement. So come out. So I wrote her a long letter. They live in North Carolina, so I couldn't really just drive over and tell her. And I wrote a letter because I really wanted my say. I really wanted to get it all out there because I knew I was going to get interrupted. And she got the letter and she read it, but I don't think she ever really heard me. My mother took my lesbianism very, very personally and very, very badly. And 10 years later, that's still true. And we wrote letters back and forth. For the next 5 or 6 years, that was the main way in which we, I guess you could call it communicating, I don't know if I'd go that far. I have a whole box of letters from my mom, and one of the first ones that she sent me would reveal a terrible secret that had a lot to do with why she couldn't accept that I was gay, but the letters really illustrate just how far apart we were. You know, my mom didn't love me anyway, she hadn't already guessed that I was gay, I don't think it changed the way she voted. She's not okay with it. So about 3 months after I came out, about 3 months after she got the first letter, I got a letter from my mom in which she wrote me what she called her personal faith story. And what you should know is that in response to my coming out, she didn't just take it badly, but she got very religious, much more religious than she'd ever been before. For example, when I was born, my parents lived in a commune in Buffalo. And then about a couple years after that, my dad started his own solar energy business, and they moved south, and my mom once sold Go Solar t-shirts at a Jackson Brown concert with waist-length blonde hair. So it wasn't out of the realm of possibility that they might be okay with having a gay kid. But so my mother got very religious, and she sends me this letter that tells her personal faith story. And she tells me that when she and my father were first together and they were in love, they thought that because they were in love, it was okay to have sex, even though they weren't married. And they got pregnant. And my mother was afraid and ashamed. And she actually wrote that she felt like she'd been caught with her pants down. And so in their guilt and fear and shame, my parents drove to another state and got an abortion. That was a pretty shocking letter. I'd never heard that story before. My mom, it's never admitted to doing anything bad to me before in my life, certainly not to having sex before she got married. And then she also went on to say that she felt an enormous amount of guilt and shame about the abortion. She felt like it was a grievous sin, and it almost split my parents up. They separated for a while, but eventually they got back together and they did get married. And even though they were using birth control, 4 months after they got married, my parents got pregnant with me. And my mother believes that I am the sign that God had forgiven her for the abortion. The fact that she got pregnant while she was on the pill, that was proof that she was finally forgiven. Which is quite a burden to find out you have at the age of 22. So I'm the living symbol of my mother's salvation. I'm the walking around proof that God forgave her. So how can I possibly be a godless lesbian, right? That doesn't compute. This is not allowed. So in this period, my mom became a deacon in the Presbyterian Church and then an elder. And then she became a missionary. And she guilted and strong-armed my father, who'd never believed in organized religion, into going back to church. And she actually told my father she would divorce him if he was supportive of me. So she was serious. My brother became a youth elder. So my family all takes this huge religious shift, which feels very much like pointed rejection of me. And in fact, what's interesting is that while I very clearly felt rejected and abandoned and betrayed by my mother's version of the story is that I rejected her, that my being gay was a pointed rejection of her. And that's what she believes to this day, that it was an indictment of her as a parent, of the choices she made in life. She took it very personally. The next letter I want to tell you about, though, didn't come from her, came maybe a year into the whole letter writing back and forth stuff. It came from the woman who was the director of the Ecumenical Coalition on Women and Society in Washington, D.C. And we're all guessing how she got my name, right? So she sends me an invitation to their 1998 summit, along with this handwritten note that says, "Dear Laurel Ann," now I don't know this woman, but I'm suddenly Laurel Ann. "Dear Laurel Ann, I hope you'll consider coming to our conference. I know you don't agree with our position, but one of our speakers is a former lesbian, and she used to be the press secretary for Patricia Ireland, who was the president of NOW. So if you sincerely are looking for a way back, I hope you'll consider joining us." Yeah, gross, right? A way back, huh? Way back from the abyss. So that really pissed me off. I was really, really angry. And I got this letter just a few weeks after Matthew Shepard had been pistol-whipped and tied to a fence and left to die in Wyoming. And so my response to this woman was a pretty scathing letter in which I told her that there were no innocent bystanders in the culture wars over gay rights. And that people like her, who think that they're enacting something out of love and concern, are just as guilty of deaths like that and of the really sadly high gay teen suicide rate as the people who actually commit the violent acts. So things deteriorated further. My mom and I sent really horrible letters back and forth to each other and said all kinds of things that, I don't know, you say when you're really angry and really hurt. And her letters got increasingly desperate and bizarre. I got a letter from her once in which she told me that she was only doing this out of concern. If, for example, if a friend of mine went to a party and tried heroin and really liked it, wouldn't I tell her to stop because it was bad for her? And then I once got a letter that was like a laundry list of every possible reason why I just could not and should not be gay. It started out by saying, like, nobody in the known universe thinks it's okay to be gay, or at least nobody in our extended family. Secondly, God made women with vaginas and men with penises for a reason. Okay? Because biological determinism had never occurred to me. They fit together in a particular way. Right? And then there were diagrams of eggs and sperm. I'm not kidding. That's not a letter you want from your mother. And then there were the sort of like requisite Bible verses. And finally, she said something that still mystifies me. She said, "I think you were lonely in college and you met those women on the rugby team and they were nice to you." So apparently, I'm not supposed to be friends with people who are nice to me. Apparently, I'm only supposed to date people and hang out with people who are not nice to me. Today, I have a relationship with my family, which we all manage by pretending that nothing ever happened. I didn't speak to my family for 4 or 5 years in this whole situation, and I got a really good therapist who finally convinced me to stop reading the pointlessly painful letters and to stop trying to win this argument and to just move on. And now I'm able to have a relationship with my dad and my brother's wife and his kid, the really nifty nephew, because we all sort of negotiate my mom, and I tolerate her, and I guess she tolerates me. But what we are is deeply disappointed in each other. I'm deeply disappointed that my mother is not the person or the mother that I wanted her to be. And she's deeply disappointed that I am not the daughter she bargained for. And for my last birthday, my mother gave me a set of hot rollers. I laughed out loud when I opened them. I was like, really? Hot rollers? And then I cried all the way home from North Carolina for 7 hours. And at Christmas, I invited some friends over for a tree trimming party, and with the help of some glue and glitter and art supplies, we turned the hair curlers into Christmas ornaments. Really, really gay, really indecent, really funny Christmas ornaments. My favorite one looks like a Mardi Gras float, and it's got like rainbow feathers and a topless dancer and this kind of trippy looking Santa Claus on it. And the curler ornaments remind me that I don't have to go home for Christmas, that in fact there are good reasons not to go home for Christmas. And also that I don't have to accept the gifts that my mother's given me in the spirit in which she intended them. Thanks.